KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration Services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Pastor Richard Mansfield, New Beginnings Church in Albuquerque, in studio with me. Pastor Richard, it's a pleasure to see you.
Jim, it's always a joy to be with you. It's exciting things happening here, from the Connection to now going back to KLYT.
And you remember the days of KLYT.
I remember they were out in Scottsdale Village, mm-hmm. right there on Eubank and Candelaria. I used to go over there tons of times with Randy Rich and the group, and it's been around for a while. I've been around for a while.
And even prior to Randy, I was part of the Christian Broadcasting Academy the second year of their existence.
Wow.
And I was a college basketball player at the University of New Mexico while I was on the air for K-Lite. Our own Steve Ryman, who's behind you in the control room, was on the air there for many, many years, and the production manager, and all kinds of different roles he's played with KLYT, and he's still here.
Man, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
So you guys are Jurassic.
We are. We are. And you know, I'm glad that people remember that. I mean, KLYT was the first contemporary Christian music station of its kind. That tradition has continued now on our digital platform, star88.fm, and you can access that either through our app. And that's going to be expanding, and that's going to be providing more and more and different types of Christian music of every genre. In fact, we just had a celebration we call our Freedom Celebration here on the 2nd, where we had people like Tadashi, who is a Christian rap artist.
Yeah.
And
then for us old guys, Phil Wickham.
Exactly. And that's the amazing part, is there's just so many ways that musicians have reached out.
Yeah.
And now 88.3 is our talk and teaching format. And Pastor Richard, we're so grateful. And I want to ask you a few things about, you're not only involved with New Beginnings Church, you also are now the co-chair of New Mexico Praise.
I'm actually the chairman now.
Are you
when
the chairman?
Brian left town, handed the whole ministry over to me.
You got the whole thing now. Well, and I don't think that people realize that 24/7 you have churches throughout New Mexico praying for our political leadership, our law enforcement, all over the state of New Mexico, and we're going to talk about that today. I read something off your website, New Beginnings Church. It's nbcabq.com.
That's correct. It stands for New Beginnings Church Albuquerque.
That's right. And great website, and you can go right there, and you can read right on your website. It says, we pray for the state of New Mexico around the clock, 24 hours, every 8th day of the month.
Now, that's just our congregation.
That's just your congregation.
So we have about 147 churches in the state of New Mexico from all over the state. A lot of them here in Albuquerque, but we have them up in the Four Corners. We have them over there in Clayton and Santa Rosa, and we have them out there in Roswell and Carlsbad and Hobbs, and we have them down in Las Cruces and Silver City and Truth or Consequences and Berlin and Los Lunas, just all over the state. But our church takes the 8th day of every month. And some churches, you sometimes have 2 or 3 churches on that day that are praying. Mm-hmm. Some churches only sign up for 12 hours a day because they're a small congregation. And they go, you know what, we can't cover full 24 hours. So you could sign up for either 24 hours or you could sign up for 24 hours or 12 hours. And so our church prays a 24-hour, and we have probably about 3 to 4 people at every shift. And we ask our congregation to show up. They don't show up. They pray wherever they are, but sure, for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we ask them, and we give them 8 prayer points. And they could pray for anything else. And we put other prayer points out as well. But we're trying to get people to really be able to bond together, to really cover our state in prayer, and to really be able to say, these are some things we really need to pray about, things that we really need to hold true for New Mexico, for Albuquerque, but, you know, the prayer point is like, pray for the lost to get saved. Pray, for the unity of churches and pastors, because God doesn't want a divided church. And yet you see so much of that all around the city, all around the county, all around the state, that people just don't work together sometimes. We were praying that God would heal our land of abortion, especially New Mexico. We're the abortion capital of the world for late-term abortions. People could have an abortion. A woman could go into labor, and she could choose to go to a delivery room or abortion clinic here in Albuquerque.
That's terrifying.
It's simply horrible. We're praying for deliverance from all the violence. We have, you know, just, I mean, look at the homicide rate this year alone. We're over 55. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just horrible. Freedom from addictions. We have not just drug addiction, alcohol addiction, but gambling and so many other addictions that people struggle with. And then we're praying for our economy and our education. Because we're 50th, and then we go up to 49th in education, then go back down to 50th. We haven't been able to break that, and we have to. And our economy was soaring, and then it tanked, and then it soared, and then it tanked. And we're going through a difficult time here in New Mexico. And then we pray for that spirit of witchcraft here. There's so many weirdness. People come in here. I mean, you had Shirley MacLaine, who bought a huge ranch up north for, you know, the tree hugging and finding Jesus, or not Jesus, but a spiritual encounter with a rock and just some weird stuff. And they did a documentary, Netflix did, a 7-part documentary literally on witchcraft here in New Mexico. So some people go like, oh my gosh, witchcraft. No, it's really real. The human trafficking is very involved in that. Human sacrifices, and people go, oh my goodness. But they've, all these missing people, where do they go? They have literally found graves before where people have been killed and they believe have been sacrificed. And then last, for reconciliation, racial reconciliation, denominational reconciliation.
Well, Richard, I want everybody to know that if you're just joining us, Pastor Richard Mansfield, pastor of New Beginnings Church, he pastors that wife, his church with his wife Cindy. We're going to find out all about New Beginnings. We got plenty of time today to talk to you about that. But I'm really intrigued with this idea that New Mexico prays and America prays is, and I'll focus on New Mexico. You have over 147 churches right now praying 24/7.
That's accurate.
Every day of the year.
Every day of the year.
And you need more churches to do.
And we need more churches. We really, really do. And all you have to do, excuse me, all you have to do is go to the website on your phone or on your computer, NMPRAYS. So it's New Mexico Praise. We're in prayer. So it's NMPRAYS.org. And that'll take you right there. We're connected with America Praise. America Praise now, Brian Allred is heading that. And so he's overseeing all the states. And now we have a number of states, Oregon, we have Washington, Arkansas, Texas, Colorado, Kansas, and we can go on, and more spreading constantly. And now we even have World Praise. We already have something like 12 countries that are praying and have asked Brian to come and teach them how to pray 24 hours a day. And we're partnering with blesseveryhome.org, I believe it is. It might be .com. But Bless Every Home is an amazing tool that God, it's blesseveryhome.com. And you could sign up. Any individual could sign up, but we encourage churches to sign up and be a church. But at this site, it will, you enter your name and your phone number, address. It'll give you a neighbor that you have, not only on your street, but a certain radius. So it'll be streets behind you, in front of you, whatever. And it'll give you every home by address, and it'll give you the name of the people that live there. So when I signed up, I live in a cul-de-sac, so I already know all the people on my block. I'm known as the guy that does the prayer walks around the neighborhood, and I've done funerals for people in my neighborhood. I've counseled people. We have a Bible study with some. And so I've had a lot of impact in my cul-de-sac, but now I get to pray for everyone by name. So if you lived in my neighborhood, it would say Jim Williams and then your wife's name. And it doesn't tell me about how many children you have, but it has in this website, you click, there's four different things they try to ask you to do. One, pray for that household. Once you pray for them and you continue praying for them, you click a little button that says, I'm praying for them. Then it says, how about a care act you can give them? So my wife and I do a lot of care acts in our neighborhood. We like taking bizcochitos to them, tamales during Christmas time, taking them bizcochitos at Christmas or different times of the year. Two of my neighbors, it's the weirdest thing, they had the exact same thing happen to them. One lives two houses to my left, one lives two houses to my right. And it happened within about a month apart from each other. The intestine twisted, ruptured, and man, they were, both of them were about to die. And they called out for me. And they, please, Richard, pray for me and minister to me. And you know, I'm like, they look at me as the neighborhood pastor. And I had a lady that just texted me and said, Richard, as soon as you get back in town, because I was up at a conference in Denver, she goes, I have some biblical questions, theological questions. I need to have you help me journey. And we have a little Bible study with them. So, but this way, now I'm praying for people that are a block away, that I drive by their house, but I've never really connected. And now I'm connecting with them. Yeah. So we're utilizing that tool. And then there's a third button is a share button that I've actually shared the gospel with them, that I've given them a word and I've shared with them. And then the last one button is that I'm discipling them. And so of all my neighbors and all the people I'm praying for, there's two households that I'm actually discipling. There's six that I've actually shared the gospel with. And all of them that I've done a care act, at least on my street. Yeah. I haven't done the other ones. But God is just doing a work through New Mexico Praise, through America Praise, and now World Praise. It's just an exciting time, Jim.
With all the prayer that you're doing in your church and coordinating all of this through New Mexico Praise, I want you to be encouraged by something. When you walked in today, we started talking about Ricky, your son. We're going to let you tell us a little bit about him in just a second. But I want you to know that the radio staff and the staff of Calvary Church was praying for the Mansfield family.
Thank you.
When he was injured.
Thank you.
And I even called you and let you know that.
Yeah.
And so my question before we talk about you and your family, and you had a bout with COVID.
Yeah.
And that was something else. I'd love for you to share with us a little bit about that. But this church, not your home church, was praying for you.
Wow. Thank you.
And I guess I want to lead into during COVID, you were one of the leaders bringing together your church with other churches like Calvary and others to provide food for different organizations. We did food drives and all kinds of things together. That was kind of a silver lining, wasn't it, to COVID?
You know what? During COVID, some churches shut down permanently. And it grieves me. You don't even understand how I weep over that. Because they just couldn't make it. They didn't have, some of them didn't have the technology to be able to, or they didn't know about the technology. Some were just isolated themselves. They never had a partnership with anyone. But those of us that did, you know, God opened up these avenues for us to give out food. There was five of us churches that came together. We gave out food. We gave out in a 14-month span, we gave out 5 million pounds of food. Now, 5 million pounds.
That's a lot of food.
Like, wow. Our church alone gave 1 million pounds of food out in a 14-month span, and many others. I mean, and we don't just do it that time. I mean, we have an ongoing food pantry at our church. Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday and Thursday, people come by. Calvary's always been a part of us. They've gone, Richard, we have a truckload of food for you, and we come and pick up a truckload of food. People bring in food because of now adopting, you know, Feed New Mexico. You guys are shifting your direction of how you're feeding New Mexico. So you don't give out a food pantry. You help in a whole different level, and it's amazing. But people still bring food. So they go, Richard, we have another truckload. And we give out, you know, bags of food every Tuesday and Thursday at our church. And then on Wednesdays, we were giving out the food, distributing 50-pound boxes of food with all kinds of vegetation. And, I mean, it was really good, you know, stuff. And we're doing that now because the food supplier changed, and now we're doing that once a month at our church. Mm. And it's on a Friday or a Saturday, depends what day they're going to ship it to us. But, Jim, so many churches were coming together, rallying together, saying, they might not let us do ministry inside the four walls, but you know what? The church is not the building. The church is the people. So the church never shut down. The building might have been shut down, but the church was still active outside the four walls, impacting a broken and hurting city that we live in, that we love. And we were able to make a huge dent into their lives with healing and just ministry.
Pastor Richard Mansfield is the senior pastor of New Beginnings Church, and he is the chairman of New Mexico Praise. We're going to be back with Pastor Richard with a lot more this afternoon. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you think taking classes in biblical studies can fit into your life? Here is Calvary College student Cresta.
After years of wanting training in ministry, I found Calvary College. Now I can deepen my walk with the Lord, and I can go as little or as often as my schedule allows. The classes are great, and the schedule definitely works around my work and family life.
Learn more about God and the Bible on your schedule with Calvary College. Apply today at calvaryabq.college.
Albuquerque Christian Children's Home is taking applications for a bookkeeper. ACCH is a 501c3 ministry. Applicants must be a person of faith, have experience in the principles of accounting and bookkeeping, and be proficient in QuickBooks and Microsoft Office. If you are interested in joining our ministry to care for children in need, please send a letter of interest and a resume addressed to Everett White, ewhite@acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
You know, when we're in a dark season of personal pain, it is easy to begin questioning God's goodness. Man, I know that. That may be a natural response to our discomfort, but it certainly isn't the right one. Instead, in Psalm 107, we read that those who are hurting should purposefully quote, here it is, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. God's goodness, the psalmist reminds us, can be seen in the ways he's delivered us from previous bouts with trouble and pain. And of course, the greatest example of his goodness is our eternal redemption from sin in Christ. You may be in a dark season, but remember that God is good. Whether your suffering is the result of some unfortunate circumstance or some poor decision of yours, know that God is gracious and he can deliver.
Right thinking leads to right living. Want more? Power up with Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point, a half hour of hard-hitting Bible teaching here on your station. Or check it out online at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700, or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Pastor Richard Mansfield, New Beginnings Church, chairman of New Mexico Praise in studio. And I always get really fired up, Pastor Richard. I've seen you speak a number of times at New Mexico Men of Honor. And I know that New Mexico Men of Honor, you've supported them. They are an outlet of America Praise. And our friend Dennis Poper, and you've been gracious enough to open up your facility to them and challenge men. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about how men need to be challenged, because we do. But I want to ask you about you. You've had, all of us have had kind of a strange and challenging 2020 with COVID-19 and the beginning of this year. But the Mansfield family's had an especially challenging time.
You know, Jim, I think people think that people see their pastor, sometimes the only time they see him is at the pulpit. And then there's a handful that see him, you know, around the campus. And then there's some that have a relationship. They see him out on their bicycle or motorcycle or whatever. But people always think, man, if I only had the pastor's life, they don't do anything. They kick back and they just enjoy life. Our journey really started June 30th of 2019. We got a horrible phone call that my daughter's ex-husband and the father of her two oldest boys had been murdered. The next door neighbor murdered him over a barking dog. And so, man, we're ministering to our grandkids. We're ministering to our daughter. She was already, they weren't together. They hadn't been together for a long time. But still, she had two children with this guy. And it was a broken time for us. Then, you know, we're journeying along and finishing out the year. And God opened up an opportunity for us to move into a bigger facility. Our church was growing and growing and growing. And we already had three, sometimes four services. And so anyway, we purchased an entire shopping mall. It's right at the corner of San Mateo and Montgomery, next door to the Albertsons grocery store there.
I want everybody to know, is that the 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast? Services are Sundays 9 and 11, and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
That's correct. And do you know that it was 39 years ago today that Cindy and I pulled into town to say, okay, God, please do something with our lives. Mm-hmm. But, man, all of a sudden, so we're dealing with the murder of our ex-son-in-law. Then all of a sudden, we go from the pit to the pinnacle. We purchase this new building. So for all of you guys out there that weren't always serving the Lord and you used to go to Graham Central Station nightclub right there at San Mateo, Montgomery, we purchased that. And that's where our church is now. So we turned a nightclub into a light club.
The light of Jesus.
And so, you know, it's 45,000 square feet. We have room to move. We have a really awesome youth facility, a children's facility, their own worship centers, their own recreation centers, and that's just a great facility. So then we're riding high there, and we close the deal for the land on January the 6th, and that's the epiphany. That's it. For Mexican tradition, and my parents were Mexicans, I'm first-generation American, the 6th of January is a real big deal for Mexicans because they don't celebrate a Santa Claus or something like that. They celebrate the three wise men bringing gifts. Mm-hmm. So they exchange gifts on January the 6th. And I said, wow, Lord, you gave it to us on the day of the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. You gave us this gift, a new building that we're going to be stewards over. So come February, they start demolition to do the remodel, rebuild. And boom, 3 weeks into that, they shut every church down across New Mexico. We're like, oh, my gosh. We're supposed to be out of our old building by August 31st. They were supposed to be done by September 1st. We were supposed to turnkey move in. They weren't finished for 2 months. So here we had reopened the church, and then we had to shut the church down. So, man, we had this great momentum going and then come to a screeching halt. And then in the midst of all that, they stole my automobile from the church parking lot. Then they find it, and all the, you know, the steering columns all broke, messed up, because they, mm-hmm. So they get me a rental car. Then they stole the rental car from the parking lot, and they found it going through the front door of Sportsman's Warehouse down the hill on Renaissance Center. They used that car to break in the front doors and rob the store. And so they find that car. The police go, guess what? We found your rental car. It's in the front door of Sportsman's Warehouse down the hill. And then they get me my car back, fix my car, and I'm at a funeral. And after the funeral, I pull into a parking lot to get some food to take home, and they steal my car from the parking lot.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
Oh my gosh. So then a month later, they steal my daughter's car. She's a funeral director. They stole it from the back of her funeral, mortuary. And I'm like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, we're in the middle of COVID. We're trying to move in the new building. We move into the new building. We're finally going to open our doors on, November the 7th. It was the first Sunday of November that we were supposed to be in. And I was supposed to take the pulpit. And I end up going to a house of one of my pastoral care pastor. They had murdered his grandson. His grandson had just come back from boot camp. He's at a park. They go to rob him. They stole all his money, and then they wanted his car. He said no. They shot him several times, murdered him right there. And this passenger was able to survive, and he told the story of what went down. So I'm at their house ministering to them, and all of a sudden one of his sons has COVID. And I go, you have every symptom of COVID. No, I'm fine. 35 of us end up with COVID.
Oh.
All 35 that are there. Of the 35, though, I'm the only one that ended up in the hospital. And I didn't want to go to the hospital. I couldn't even preach the first Sunday of our new church. Oh. I didn't even get to preach there, man. I was like, golly gee. And I'm going, Cindy goes, you don't look good. I'm like, oh my gosh, Cindy, leave me alone. And she goes, Richard, you're having trouble breathing. Well, to me, trouble breathing is like gasping for air. You know, I wasn't like that. I was just like that. But she goes, Richard, just to finish a sentence, you have to take two or three breaths. I go, really? I hadn't really noticed, paid attention. Well, a few days later, my lips all around the edges, some of these girls put these lip liner things around the edges. That's how my lips were, but it was real dark blue. And I go, wow. She goes, Richard, your lips are blue. And I go, Cindy, you're just worried. You're concerned. I look in the mirror. I go, oh, that's kind of weird. The next day, it looked like I had a mustache all the way up to my nose. It was blue all the way around my mouth, about half an inch all the way around my mouth was blue. And I'm like, wow, I guess I'm worse than what I thought. So Cindy calls our primary care, and he goes, It's on a Sunday, or Saturday. And he says, what's his oxygen at? And we had bought one of those oximeters, and they're checking, my oxygen. And she goes, it's, 78. He goes, that's not good. So we're on the phone he goes, test it again. 10 minutes later, 76, 70. Anyway, it bottomed out at 70 within a 20 minute span. And he goes, this isn't good. Called 911, and I go, you don't have to. I go, Dr. Pickler, Cindy could take me to the hospital. I'll even let her drive. You know, I was still like, I'm fine. I had already fallen twice because my oxygen was so low. I'd hit my head so bad. I just had a big old knot on my head. It threw my back out. I just was going. And finally, he goes, you don't understand, Richard. They're going to put you in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. And by the time they come and call your name, you're going to be dead. Mm. And I go, what? He goes, check your oxygen. It was 69. Mm. He goes, look how fast it's dropped. It's dropped 9 points since we started talking. He goes, no, call 911. So they called an ambulance. I walked out to the curb, and I walked out there. They helped me. I had a cane. My wife had found a cane that was hurt. Stepfathers. And so I had a cane, and one of the paramedics is helping me get to the car. They put me in the gurney. They throw me in the back of an ambulance, and they're working on me immediately. They called the hospital, and they go, this guy's tanking fast. So they started an IV and oxygen. And so one of the firefighters walks up to my wife. She walks up to the back door of the ambulance, and then she walks over to my wife. Meanwhile, she's on the phone with my son and my daughter. My son lived in Oklahoma at the time. My daughter was in El Paso. And this firefighter goes, we need to claim the blood of Jesus for your husband right now. And Cindy's like, are you a Christian? She goes, yes. She goes, how did you know we were Christians? She goes, I didn't. God just told me. We need to claim the blood of Jesus for your husband right now. Cindy said she said this prayer that was so powerful, powerful. She was, and then she vanished. The truck drove off, and she's looking to wave at her, and she's like, was this an angel unaware or what? All I know is a firefighter pleaded the blood over my life. I was in the hospital for 10 days, and I wasn't getting better. They had me on 8 units of oxygen, and they were giving me the treatment they had given President Trump and his family, and they were doing all kinds of stuff to me. But it's the weirdest thing. They put you in this room that has plastic and a zipper. You can't go. Nobody goes in. You only have 2 people that see you a day. That's the weirdest thing. The nurse brings in your food tray. The nurse brings in whatever they need. And they didn't even give me sheets, pillow, or nothing. They had 1 sheet on the mattress, and that's all. But because my fever was 105 point something, they didn't even want me covered up. And all I know is one night they came in and they go, you're not doing good at all. The doctors are putting you on a ventilator. And I go, no, they're not. I go, only, do you know that 82% of people on ventilators died? 82%.
I had no idea.
So I said, I've got an 18% chance of living with a ventilator. I'll just take my chances. And they go, we could override that. I go, I'm of sound mind. I know what year this is. I go, this is 2020 and this is November. I go, our old president was voted out. A new president is voted in. He's going to be inaugurated in January. I go, I know what's going on. They go, we don't care. We could override that. I go, no. I go, you know what you guys haven't even brought me the whole time I've been here? A spirometer. And what a spirometer is, it's that little plastic thing that has a tube and has a ball in it that you suck on the tube and it floats the little ball. That's one of the hardest things in the world to do. But that's the way you build up your lungs.
It's an exercise.
And they go, oh, we haven't brought that to you? I go, I'm 5 days into this and I'm dying and you wanting to put me on a ventilator so you could get more money out of me. I go, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you do it. Bring me a spirometer. They go, well, just do 10 exercises an hour. I'm like, heck no, I'm going to do 10 every. So I did 10. I'd take 5-minute because you could hyperventilate. It could overwork you also. Mm-hmm. So I would do 10. I would take 5 to 10 minutes off, do 10. By the very next day, my oxygen had gone up a little bit. So I was like, nope, I'm going home, baby. 10 days later, I got to go home.
Pastor Richard Mansfield is telling us about his 2020. Started going downhill in 2019, and after everything he's told us so far, there's more. But you're going to feel great joy when you hear the end of the story, because Pastor Mansfield is not only alive and with us, but all the other things that have happened to his family have also been a blessing, and he's going to share that with us. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
We're called to share our faith, but too often we lack the confidence. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association can help. The Christian Life and Witness Course. This 3-hour class can strengthen you as a Christian and give you confidence in sharing the gospel with others. This class is a lead-in to the Franklin Graham Route 66 God Loves You Tour coming this fall. And it's free. The Christian Life and Witness Course. Dates, locations, and more information are at GodLovesYouTour.com.
Water break. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. My wife's gotten me into the Insanity Max 30 workout routine, and its name declares exactly what it is. Insane. There are certain moves that I can do that I don't mind at all. Then there are those that just hurt and are hard, and I'd love to avoid. Then there's the moment. Well, it's not even a moment. It's 30 seconds on the video that's labeled water break. And I love that part of the workout because there I can stop, get a swig, and kind of catch my breath. In that moment, I'm in my own semi-retreat from the demands of the insane workout. You know, Jesus would often take a water break. He would leave the demands of the moment and get away and pray. How often are you taking a break in your day to pray? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you."
You've been listening to Roger Patterson, author of A Minute of Vision for Men, a daily devotional available at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Pastor Richard Mansfield. I say this all the time. I always wish I could record the times that we're off the air because we have so much fun. Pastor Richard is the pastor of New Beginnings Church. They're located at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast. I love what you said earlier, and you might have to, you took a nightclub and turned it into a light club.
That's right.
The old Graham Central Station,
yep.
Albertson store on the corner of San Mateo and Montgomery.
That's correct.
And you're just around the corner from it.
That's correct. We're in that shopping mall that has a Cece's Pizza. It's directly behind Rockin' Brews, directly behind Del Taco. Mm-hmm. And that's, we bought the whole mall.
Oh, nice.
So, the tenants are paying it off for us, and we're having an amazing time because we've just expanded so much. And with the COVID, people are still a little sluggish coming back, but we're running about 55% of, you know, people back.
And are your services available online too?
They are.
Using the streaming and everything?
We are, and we had already been doing that, but we definitely polished it up and tried to make it better because... But we're on our website, which is, you mentioned it.
Go ahead and mention it again.
Yeah, nbcabq.com. And then they could just go to the service from there and see what's going on. And
so you have a service tonight at 7?
That is correct.
What are you teaching on tonight?
You know what? I started this series on prayer, and I call this series Manipulating or Impacting the Heart of God. Because I think so many people try to manipulate prayer. They almost look at God as a genie. Like, I need this. I get my 3 wishes for the day. And I wish I'd have this and this and this. And they try to manipulate God. Or are you really moving the heart of God? So it's manipulating or moving the heart of God. Which one are you doing? Are you really impacting Him to hear your heart? But then you learn how to listen to His. And then you hear what breaks his heart and what causes his heart to just swell up. And then you start to learn how to obey. And because a lot of times we hear God, we just don't obey. Mm-hmm. A lot of us listen, we hear, and then we take a totally different direction. It's like, well, what happened? Well, I didn't like the marching orders. We're kind of like, you know, Jonah. Man, it's like, I don't want to go over there. So we go the other direction, and God, so loving and so tender, puts a detour to bring us back. Detours always are not from Satan. Sometimes detours are from God bringing you back and calling you back and trying to get you to refocus and realign. And he takes you, he lets you in your disobedience walk away, but he reminds you of your call because your call is irrevocable. Mm-hmm. I have a call on you and you are going to, man, I'm hoping that you're going to align yourself to do it. But so that's what we've been studying on Wednesdays, and we're looking at that and just seeking God on that.
7 o'clock p.m. tonight.
That's correct.
9 and 11 on Sundays.
That's correct. Yes. On Sundays, I'm doing this series right now on making it through tough times, the real difficult times. I was talking about divorce, those that are contemplating it and those that already went through it. How do you get through it? I'm not this Sunday, but next Sunday. I'm going to be out of town this Sunday, but the next Sunday I'm teaching on when you lose a loved one or you're losing a loved one. Sometimes people have no clue what to do. They're just, they don't know what to say. People say some of the dumbest things when somebody dies. Mm. And so just how to minister to people that for people that they're losing them or they've lost them, how do you minister to that? How do you process that yourself? And what are you doing with that? So it's been a great journey. We have an amazing children's department. My wife is our administrative pastor. She worked for Trinity Broadcasting Network for 30 years. And after 30 years, Trinity, because the FCC had deregulated some stuff, they went to automation on everything and shut down 35 stations across the network nationwide. Albuquerque was one of those. So the station is still here, but there's nobody running it. It's all computerized. So after 30 years, she stepped down, and she's brilliant with administration. So she came on as our executive pastor, our administrative pastor. And is doing amazing. The gifts I have, she doesn't have. The gifts she has, I don't have. So together, man, it's like this amazing team. And then, the hard thing is that I'm a strong, bold leader, and so is she. So sometimes it's like, okay.
So I have to have you on the program because, Tuesday is about once a month. I have married couples on.
Okay.
And I just talk about marriage.
Hey, it'd be great. It'd be great. Look, we're going to be celebrating 43 years of marriage this October. And I always joke around and I tell the congregation, first of all, they say, what's the secret to a successful marriage? And I go, that's just it. It's a secret. But all kidding aside, I go, look, when Cindy has the gun, I have the bullets. And when I have the gun, she has the bullets. Don't ever load your spouse's weapon because they will use them against you.
Oh.
Do not give your spouse ammunition because, boy, we're little. Look, I always say there's four people in a marriage, okay? There's a man and a woman that are madly in love with each other. They would take a bullet for each other. They would shoot somebody to protect their spouse. But there's a little boy inside of you, Jim, and there's a little girl inside of your wife that are brats. They throw tantrums. That's mine. That's my remote control. That's my ball. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's the kid that you only let out to have fun, the spontaneity. But we unfortunately let the kids out to fight. And kids fight really dirty. Whoever said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me, they were liars.
Yes.
Or deaf, because words will kill you.
Yes.
And so anyway, we're having a great journey, and it's been a great ride. It hasn't been the most perfect ride. It was probably 2 years. I would very quickly say I would never want to relive those, and I wouldn't want anyone else to. But the rest of the 41 years have been phenomenal.
But, Pastor, I bet you would give anything, because I know both you and Cindy are open about this. When you share that you had some difficulties in your marriage,
yeah,
you would be blessed if people would learn from that.
And we do.
So they don't have to go through
that.
You
know what? And I'm a very transparent pastor. I share the good, bad, and the ugly. I try, you know, and I think sometimes people leave going, oh my gosh, our pastor is pretty awesome, but if he's that messed up, there's hope for me. But you know what I mean? Because
yes. In
all reality, everybody has challenges. Look, it's my daughter's getting married, or she's already married. She was getting married. And the night before, my son owns a business and he had 28 of his employees with him. He had chartered a bus here in town.
This is right around the time you had COVID.
It was right before COVID,
right
before COVID. And so we're in El Paso, Texas, because that's where my daughter lives. And she goes, man, I can't wait. You guys just got in town. Tomorrow Ricky gets here. Tomorrow's my wedding. So that morning, the day before her wedding, I get a phone call at 6:31 in the morning. And hysterical woman's voice. Pastor Mansfield, Pastor! Oh my God, we got in the bus wreck! Oh my God! And it's one of the people with my son. And I'm like, calm down. Oh my God! Oh no, take a deep breath. Come on, breathe with me. Come on, breathe. Here we go. And I breathe, you know, was giving her breathing exercise. We did it twice. And I go, okay, stop. Let's pray. And I prayed. And then God's peace just fell upon her. I go, now tell me what's going on. She goes, we were in a very serious bus wreck. I could see the bus driver. He's dead. He's dead. He's very seriously. I know he's dead just by the injuries he has. I go like, oh my gosh. I go, what happened? So has anyone called? I go, were the paramedics there? She goes, no. I go, well, you should have called 911 instead of me. She goes, well, I hear him coming. I go, okay, stay on the phone. So I stayed on the phone with her. But while I'm on the phone, I wake my wife up and I put this girl on mute. I still have her on. I go, Cindy, wake up. You're a pastor right now. You're not mom. You're not my wife. You're a pastor. I need you to shift into pastor mode. There's been a bus wreck. Ricky, and she's like, I go, don't lose it. Please get on your phone. Start Googling bus wreck in Texas near Amarillo. I go, we need to know what's going on. So, man, she's Googling away. I'm talking to this girl. I'm on the phone with her for an hour while they literally put her on the gurney. We're on the phone. They put her in the ambulance. I'm on the phone. But they don't know where Ricky is. They can't find him. So we're like, this isn't good. I go, is he dead or alive? And so someone comes and says, he's in very critical condition. Cindy's halfway losing it. I'm trying to keep composure. I got this girl on the phone. Cindy finds the news channel that has it. So she's watching live coverage of our son's bus. And the bus was, half of the bus is missing, completely missing. And that's overwhelming. You're looking at footage. They don't know if my son's dead or alive. So finally she gets to the hospital and we hang up. I pray with her. They're going to take her into surgery. So then I get a hold of the hospital. I go, my son was just airlifted there. They go, oh yes. Okay. I go, is he alive? They go, yes. I'm like, God, thank you, God. So Cindy and I are just a mess, but we're trying to keep it together. We pray. Make a real long story short, that's on a Tuesday. My daughter got married on a Wednesday. So I go, Cindy, let's get up. We got to get up. Hurry up. We got to get to Ashley's house because social media, she's going to hear about it. She's got to hear about it from us. So we go over there and we go, hey, Ashley, I need to have a meeting with you and Robert. So we go into a separate bedroom. Her boys, which idolize their uncle. One's 15, one's 14, and one's 3. I go, there was another young lady there. I go, keep the boys over here. We take Ashley and they're in the bedroom and we go, Ricky's been in a near-death accident. We don't know if he's going to make it or not. All we know is that he's in bad, bad shape. And so they're falling apart. We cried, we prayed. Next thing you know, she says, we need to cancel the wedding. I go, no, we can't. I go, he's not even in surgery yet because they're doing 2 surgeries of other people before him. So he's not scheduled for surgery till 11 this morning. And they don't think they won't. They already told us they will not let us see him till Thursday. That was Wednesday morning. That was Tuesday morning. So now Wednesday, we can't even see him till Thursday. So Wednesday's the wedding. So we have the wedding. So we go from the pit back to the pinnacle. This amazing wedding. And Ricky's daughter was in the wedding. She was the flower girl. She carried this beautiful rose in that my daughter was going to give him. He was going to walk my wife down the aisle because I was going to walk her down the aisle. And his daughter carried in a rose, and there was an empty chair for him, and she placed the rose on the chair. And then my daughter looked into the camera and says, Ricky, you always have to do something to just ruin everything, don't you? She goes, I love you, brother, so much. I'm dying not knowing how you are, but oh, how I wish you were here. I'm like, man, we get through the wedding. The very next day, we pack our bags and drive to Lubbock. Now we have our 2 grandsons with us because my daughter and her husband are going on their honeymoon, and they took the little 3-year-old with them. So we get to Lubbock. He was in surgery for 16 hours, having 2 surgeons, literally an orthopedic surgeon was doing the repair of his shattered elbow that was just a total mess. It's all bionic now. It's nothing but metal parts from the bicep down to the forearm. And then the pelvic was just shattered, so they had to reconstruct the pelvic. His stomach had ruptured open. The intestines were out on the highway. they were tucking him back in, and I mean, he was a mess. His head was split open, peeled back like if somebody had scalped his head. And man, we get there and we finally get to go in at 8 p.m. on Thursday. And man, all we did was thank God, thank God. On Friday morning, we talked to the doctor and we just said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving our son's life. He goes, I didn't save his life. He goes, this is no other than a miracle from God. He goes, I'm a Christian man. And he goes, I'm telling you, this is a miracle of God. Now, this is Covenant Hospital in Lubbock. It's a Christian hospital. Every morning they would go, and now time for our morning prayer over the intercom. Mm. Those nurses wear T-shirts with Joshua 1:9 on the back of their T-shirts. I'm like, where am I? They have a huge banner out front that says we are a Christian hospital, a ministry of healing. I'm like, God, you are so amazing. They said he'll be fortunate if he could walk in 10 months to a year. He started walking in less than 2 months. Mm. I mean, it's just been unbelievable. Yeah. So he had to go to the doctor, and he's got to go to Lubbock every time because that's where they have all the records. So he went yesterday for a follow-up, and they go, Ricky, you have to have surgery on that elbow immediately. And he goes, what's wrong? He goes, if you don't have surgery soon, you're going to lose your arm. Because that's not functioning. He saved it. He could close and open his hand, but he can't bend it. He can't move his arm. So he calls us and he says, hey, I have to have surgery. They go, when? They go, tomorrow. I go, tomorrow? I go, well, I can't go. I got the boys. I got church. I got, oh my gosh. And I mean, I could have got someone to cover the pulpit, but my grandsons were with me, and I mean, so my wife goes, well, I'm taking off. So boom, she takes off to Lubbock. But this is at 5 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So it's already 6 o'clock their time. She got there at 1 o'clock in the morning, finally went to bed at 2, had to get up at 4 because she had to have him there at 4:45 this morning. Mm-hmm. He had surgery, and at 4:45, he checked in. They had surgery at 7. It lasted till 9:55, 10 o'clock, 2.5, 3 hour surgery. And they said it looks good, but he's in excruciating pain. They'll make their way back tomorrow, and they're going to drive back. And I'm like, is this the best thing? Should we just fly him back and you drive back? And I don't know. It's a crazy time, Jim.
Pastor Mansfield, when I think about the scripture that says, consider it all joy when you encounter trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The Mansfield family has some serious endurance. How do you have joy in the midst of all that?
You know what, Jim? Look, I don't want it to sound cheesy because, look, if we don't stay connected to Jesus, Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the subject of our life. And if you don't stay connected, look, if I don't stay connected with my wife, we start drifting. We're like, who are you? I sleep in the same room, in the same bed, and we haven't even talked. What's going on? We have to talk to the Lord just throughout the day. So I do devotionals. I listen to 88.3 because I love some of the teachers on this. I really love all of them, but I've got a life. I got to work. But man, whenever I can really give a pay, I have it on 88.3 because I love hearing the word, but it feeds me. It's that it feeds my spirit. I read the word. I pray. I pray, 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 pray. I'm not the chairman of New Mexico Praise, and that's why I pray. I've been a praying man since before I got saved. My mom modeled prayer to me, and I pray, 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 pray. I didn't know anything when I came out here to start a church. And I had to pray, 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 pray. Everyone makes fun of me because I always say, pray, 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 pray. My whole congregation, they'll say, pray, 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 pray. And because you know what? You have to stay in communication with God. We stay connected. And you know what? Jim, one of my prayers for people, but for my life and my family is that we bump into God all day long. Mm-hmm. That you see and go, God, thank you. Cindy and I cry all the time. We're a bunch of crybabies. I used to never get emotional. Now I get emotional. They open a new Walmart and I start crying. But all kidding aside, I really do. But you know what? God has spoiled us. He constantly just reveals himself to us in different things, different ways. Just sitting here with you, you are telling me, Richard, our staff, Pastor Skip and his staff, and this congregation prayed for you and your family when your son went through the accident and when you were in the hospital with COVID. Jim, you weren't the only church. There were congregations all over the city. One of my board members got on the phone. He personally called 50 churches in this city saying, please pray for Richard Mansfield. We know Richard. Well, man, he's dying with COVID. We got to make sure he makes it. Man, God spoils us. How can you not have joy and go, thank you, Lord, for that unspeakable joy? Joy isn't all bubbly, a tigger, bouncy, trouncy, running around. Joy is knowing that the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of mankind, my creator, not only does he live, but he lives in me and he provides for me. He gives me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He gives me the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's one fruit. We think, oh, well, I have enough love. I'll just take this apple. No, that is almost like an orange. There's slices and all of these characteristics are there. And he's there for me and he reminds me all the time. But you know why? Because I talk to him. I spend time with him. And if I don't do that, man, I'm running on my own strength. And you know what? I might be a tough guy, but the devil's tougher. We cannot stand up to the devil on our own. But guess what? Greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. They're like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. No, you don't know what I've gone through. I've only shared a tiny piece of it. You don't know my journey, but let me tell you something. Listen up, church. We're not defined by one moment in our life. Some of you have had people that committed suicide. You've had people that have walked out of your marriage and you think, I'm a divorced. I'm marked by divorce. No, you are marked by the love and blood of Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of God. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O woman of God, and start marching again because our leader is marching with you. I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus.
Pastor Richard, we got about a minute left. I want to mention to you two things. Reignite the Church Gathering, July 23rd and 24th. What's that about?
You know what? We're having a sermon night on the 23rd. It's just going to be a great time of worship. An amazing speaker coming down from Colorado, Steve Rennick. And then on Saturday, there's going to be an afternoon women's conference. And that's going to be amazing. There is a small charge for that. And then the rest is a free. We're going to have different topics. They're going to be addressing Christian ethics. They're going to be addressing youth and how to revitalize youth and how to minister to the youth of today. They're going to be talking about worship and technology, how you use that. Our worship leader, Michael Romero, Pastor Michael, has been part of the National Day of Prayer where, you know, we've had Tamara Aragon, and she's put together a worship team before for us with different worship leaders from all around the city, and Michael being one of them. I'm just telling you, Jim, God is doing a work in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'm so glad that you opened this platform to get the light of Jesus out on K-Light.
Thank you, Pastor Richard. We're blessed to have you here, and God bless you. And Ricky, as he's had surgery today, we will continue to pray, Michael.
Thank you so much. Blessings to all of you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.